by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, Drew Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Summertime is a fun time in Wyoming, and we bring in Janet Millick every week from Wyoming Game and Fish Department. Janet, it's the prime time to get out on the water and have a great opportunity of recreation here around the Casper area.
That's right. The 4th of July weekend is almost upon us, and I tell you, it has just been, you know, in the 90s. It's fantastic.
Hello, my name is Drew Kirby, your host for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors, and every week we talk with Game and Fish to make sure you're up to date with the latest and greatest with any information that they may have. And now is a very important time of the year to talk boat safety because of the holidays and the summertime and the warm temperatures. And we always bring Janet Millick in. And Janet, this time of the year is a great time, but it also can be very challenging if someone's not up on their boat safety.
Exactly. And it is a great time to take off and really enjoy the outdoors. And, you know, while we at the Wyoming Game and Fish Department tend to push this watercraft safety around the 4th of July, it is something that people need to be thinking about all year round, right? This is really very important. And those of you who have ever sat on the side of a reservoir and just watched the boaters recognize like how difficult it can be to maneuver a boat, to load a trailer, to back a trailer in, to stop a motorized vehicle, because clearly there are no brakes. And so, you know, there are a lot of challenges out there. And so when you add the number of people that will be recreating this weekend and you add some of those individuals who may be consuming some alcohol, it is so important to know about boating safety and what you need to know to be safe on that water.
Yeah, one of the first things we always talk about when it comes to the boats and being in the water is AIS, to make sure that you're checked, to make sure that you're ready to go. But you brought Ty in today, and Ty's going to throw it down and really give us all the information that we need, because some people, maybe this is the first time they've gone out since last 4th of July on the water.
Not saying that I am one of those people, but I do really hope to get my boat out. And yes, Ty is one of our reservoir crew game wardens that, you know, oddly enough, people sometimes don't associate the Wyoming Game and Fish Department and how we regulate boating safety. But this is something that came to us, a job duty that came to us from the U.S. Coast Guard many, many, many years ago. And we do continue to take that job very seriously because it is important to be safe on the water. And Ty can tell us all about some of those things that he has already seen this summer on the waters that people need to be aware of.
So Ty, first off, we just wanted to get out there and be clear that your number one priority is not to be a fun hater and ruin everyone's fun for the 4th of July weekend.
That's right. You know, a lot of people call us the fun police, and they think we're just out there policing their fun. But in all reality, we're just trying to make sure that everyone stays safe, that everyone comes home at the end of the day, and that everyone can have an enjoyable time out with their families. But most importantly, stay safe out there.
That's one of the worrisome things for me is if someone goes out to, say, an alcova, and you're out on alcova for the first time and you rented a boat or a jet ski and you've never really gone on the water on a boat or jet ski before, there's a lot of things you need to know before, you know, you hurt someone or yourself.
You know, one of the biggest things that we run into, especially with newer boaters or people out there on the reservoir, is life jackets. You know, life jackets are one of those things that you should be wearing all the time on your boat, even though it's not required. I would highly recommend anytime you're out on the water, make sure you have a life jacket on. One of the biggest violations that we've come across is people on paddle boards or kayaks that also do not have a life jacket on board their kayak or their paddle board. It's important to make sure, even if you're not going to wear it on that kayak or paddleboard, that at least you have it on the vessel with you. Because otherwise that you are required to have it. It is a violation, and we want to ensure your safety out there.
You know, Drew, one of the things that we often see in Wyoming, and it's something that people don't think about, is the temperature of the water, right? So there is something like when you fall into that water and it is so cold, people, your natural reaction is often to gasp because that's just what your body naturally does. And oftentimes that's when you can suck in the water, right? If you're falling into the water, your natural reaction that happens when it is so cold is to inhale, and we all know what that does to the lungs and to have water there. So it is oftentimes the life jacket is to help just those natural reactions that happen when we hit that super cold water. In addition to, you never know what can happen with storms arising. That is one of the big things that we have always seen. I can remember the horror stories of Pathfinder when I was a kid, right? People don't recognize that you can get into the middle of the lake on a paddleboard with no problems. You can have a great time, and then a storm arises and those winds kick up and you're, going against those white caps, and it just becomes a super dangerous situation. And so, just remembering that the life jacket can protect us against the elements in Wyoming is so important.
Absolutely, it is. And really doesn't take any time to put one on. They're not as bulky and crappy as they were when I was a kid, and they were just not cool. But Ty, I know that you've got a lot of information that you want to pass along, and I know that you've got some very hot topics on your mind for today.
Yeah. One of the things I kind of want to touch on a little bit is, personal watercraft. You are required to have a life jacket when you're on a personal watercraft, and those things are pretty fun. You can zip around on those pretty fast, and they're just a good time, but you do have to be careful.
Just so people know, a personal watercraft is a jet ski. We get a little technical here at Game and Fish, but gotcha. It's a lot of fun to get on those wave runners, those, things that are now the size of a boat. Back when I was young, they were not. They were little tiny things. But yes, so sorry. Continue on, Ty.
Yeah. So just make sure you have your life jacket on those. And just be careful. Like, they are a ton of fun, but you do want to exercise caution and make sure that you're operating those safely.
And it's not just the person driving, it's every person on that machine, because sometimes they're big enough, you could get a couple of people on with you.
Exactly. Yep. You could have, two or sometimes up to three people on those. And it's just like a four-wheeler. If you have a four-wheeler with multiple people, the weight distribution is going to be different. It's going to turn different, handle different in the water. So those are things to be cautious of and aware of.
A lot of times what those jet skis do, of course, are jump the wakes, right? They'll follow other boats and maybe sometimes follow a little bit too closely. So you want to make sure that you are aware of all the boats that are always around you and how close you're getting to those, because sometimes those other watercraft aren't aware of you and aren't watching out for you. Sometimes the fun is to see, how high you can jump it, and then you lose your passenger. And there you are with someone in the water, not too far away from the rear end of another boat. And you just want to be extremely careful of all those situations, especially on the fourth, where there's hundreds and thousands of boats out there.
And obviously, you think about the motorcycles on the highways. That's kind of how it is, where they're smaller. They're not as easy to see as maybe a larger boat would be.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And again, remember that maneuverability. It's, stopping in water, man.
For a little, I guess, a scenario, if you're coming up on a dock to, dismount, how much room do you need to give yourself to slow down and start, arcing that machine to, you don't want to crash into it, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's important to give yourself plenty of room. I always like to go probably a little bit slower than most people. Just kind of ease it on in there. If you go too fast, obviously you can damage not only your boat or your watercraft, but also the dock. You don't want to do that. So, slow is fast, in my opinion, when you're trying to dock something. Just kind of take it slow and take your time and make sure you're doing it right.
Most docks, Drew, do have those wake free zones, which are when you're supposed to shut your boat down and be going slower. So in theory, people should be creeping up on that pretty slow And people do get in a rush, particularly if storms are moving in or if it's starting to get dark. So just keep that in mind, that patience is a virtue here.
Well, and that's another good point, is you need to be aware of what the buoys mean, where they're placed, why they're there, because that could not only be just a wake zone, but there could be rocks. It could be, you know, just bad news.
Yeah, especially on Alcova, there's a lot of buoys that mark low-lying rocks in the water that could very easily damage your boat or your watercraft if you go over those and run into those. You know, we've seen that in years past where people have crashed their boats into low-lying rocks and things that are marked by buoys, just not paying attention.
And by crashed their boat, Ty means launched them up far onto the shore, like enormous watercraft, right? Like huge motorboats that are 100 feet up the shore. So it's not something that, you know, we just talk about for fun. It is a serious, serious matter. And think of folks if they had been on the beach. You know, think of, you know, you if you had been in front of that boat as it was getting ready to launch itself up onto that. So it is, you know, it is something that often happens, and people really need to be aware of their surroundings at all times.
Which we've mentioned Alcova a lot, but also there's other reservoirs where all these rules are the same. This isn't something that is specific for one body of water. Like every body of water needs to be treated the same.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're on Alcova or Pathfinder, Glendo, wherever. The rules are the same. The regulations are the same. And, you know, the buoy markers are the same. So you just got to be paying attention. And kind of going along those lines, too, you know, boats are inherently more dangerous than vehicles. There's no seat belts, you know, safety items like that. So that's another reason that we go around and check for life jackets and check for throwable flotation devices and fire extinguishers. Because those things are easily removed from boats. And we just want to make sure that everyone's in compliance with safety rules and regulations to keep them safe.
Let's throw another, you know, issue into the mix here. And if you're boating while drinking, you could then even cause more of an issue. But it's not the same as if you're in a car. If you're in a car and your passenger's drinking a beer, that's not right. But in a boat, you can't be drinking, but your passengers all can be, and that could really cause issues.
Yeah, for sure. Especially, you know, this weekend coming into the 4th of July, if you're operating a boat, you know, out with your family or your friends or whoever you're with, just make sure that you have a sober driver on that boat. You know, boating accidents are almost always caused by alcohol. Not always, but almost always. Alcohol is a huge contributor to those boating accidents. So just make sure that you have a sober driver. Everyone else can be, you know, drink and have a good time, but we really want to make sure that driver's sober, because not only could that, you know, wreak havoc on your weekend, but, you know, if you're caught boating under the influence of alcohol, then, you know, we will take enforcement action for that. So we don't want to ruin anybody's weekend by having to do that. So just make sure you're sober on the boat.
Yeah, and that ruins your judgment and your balance. And so really it just adds way more possibilities for bad things to happen. So don't drink and boat. You get a BUI.
That's right. And, you know, there's so many things that go into that, Drew, as well, that people just don't think about as far as, let's just say the boat operator has been consuming quite a bit of alcohol and you have a fun group of kids who are jumping off the back of the boat, right? And they don't realize there's still a kid back there. They throw that engine into drive and the prop starts up and you have kids swimming out back. And, you know, these are true stories that have happened in Wyoming. And, you know, I'm pretty sure when Life Flight lands to haul your kid away because of a prop strike, it's not the best feeling in the world. So, you know, it's not just about navigating the waters under the influence. It's about keeping your entire situation safe, your family, your kids, and others. Just the simplest things can happen, just like in, you know, on a highway or anything else like that. There's not as much control sometimes in watercraft, but keep safe and just go enjoy the weekend, and then you won't have to worry so much about all those little things.
Yeah, again, not trying to be fun haters, but just trying to make sure that you live on to keep having fun.
Agreed. And, you know, again, you only have to see it once. And like my husband and I do not allow any alcohol on the boat, just for the safety of the kids, because some of the stuff that we have seen has not been pretty, and just don't want to go there with our own family.
Very good. Well, of course, you can go to wgfd.wyo.gov if you would like to find out more information on boat safety. You can even find out about boater safety courses if you're new to the boating world and you want to learn how to do it correctly. You can do it all right there at the Game and Fish website. Ty, Janet, thank you guys.
Thanks, Drew, and we'll see you guys on the water this weekend.
Thank you. Stay safe out there.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew and Brian Woodward from Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, and we're back from Boisen. And boy, did we have a great weekend at Boisen Reservoir at Boisen State Park, Shoshone. And Brian, I'm telling you that that's the first time I'd ever been on the water there at Boisen, and it was fascinating. It was so interesting to me how the lake was different. Like right in the middle, it changed.
Yeah, I mean, for one, if you haven't been over there, and especially on the water, I mean, it's one of the most gorgeous lakes. I mean, you're surrounded, you know, on a couple sides of you with, you know, the Wind Rivers and South Pass, and you got snow-capped mountains out there, and yeah, just beautiful scenery. And then, you know, going through the Wind River Canyon's awesome itself. Yeah, water conditions were kind of different, like real clear water on the north end, fishable water on the south end, and it really cleaned up pretty good on Saturday night. So Sunday, we saw even more boats on the south end.
So it was interesting, and we'll run down the results here in just a little while, but it was interesting that there was a Rocky Mountain Discount Sports in Riverton that a lot of anglers had to go and get stocked up because they changed their game right in the middle. And that's really what fishing's all about. We talked about it all the time, where you always have to be looking to the future and changing things, and always, if you're not doing it right this way, then you got to switch it up.
Yeah, we talked to that one team that just got a particular bite on a color crankbait, and he's like, yeah, we went into the store, we cleaned out every one that they had of that color, you know. And but that's the beauty and the fun of it. And you know, this tournament, even maybe more so than others, is that you see the camaraderie of the anglers, you know, outside of the event, you know. So we got off the water by 3 o'clock, and Noah and myself went around and handed out results at campgrounds, you know, and there's, you know, three or four boats in this group of guys, and three and four groups of guys at this campground. And just kind of neat to see how, you know, they all either camped together, worked together. Some brought their families, you know, some of the families, you know, played in the water all day long while, yeah, dad was out fishing. Right. And it's really a neat area. And just, you know, it's kind of neat to see, especially this time of year with, you know, kids out of school, and how the families make, you know, a vacation out of a trip like this.
And that's one of the great things about Rocky Mountain Discount Sports is, if you do have a family, you've got something for everybody, whether it's, you know, water stuff, you know, you got your water equipment or your boating equipment, you've got your hiking stuff, your camping stuff. Right. And really that's how you keep people in business of being in the outdoors.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we try to be as diverse as possible to kind of have something for everybody. That, you know, there's so many different things to do in Wyoming, whether it's hiking or fishing or camping or, you know, biking or whatever it is. I mean, there's just so much to do, and we try to specialize in that outdoor stuff, you know. And we can't be an expert on everything, and obviously some of the big box stores have an advantage on, you know, things like kayaks, but in terms of like boating accessories and fishing supplies that are relevant to the area, that's where we can shine.
Right. Well, and that's exactly what helped those anglers, because they were anglers from out of state, so they were able to maybe not know so much about Boisen, but were able to run right into the store and get changed up and change their game plan.
Yeah, and that's kind of the fun and unique part about our company and our stores. You know, there's 5 locations in Wyoming, and each one of the managers is kind of responsible for merchandising and bringing in product that's good for their local area. So, you know, in Casper, we've got a pretty good skeet club, and we've got trap shooting involved. We've got, you know, lots of different aspects. So we carry a real large selection of ammunition. You know, there's a cowboy pistol shooters group here in Casper. There's just so many neat different things. And for each manager to have the autonomy to merchandise and bring in products that are specific to their area and their fisheries and their hunting situations, it's a great advantage.
And with technology, anywhere in the state, you can go to RockyMountainSports.com and shop the selections of what you have and reach out to the store if maybe there's a particular item that you're not seeing online but you know is in the store. You can always reach out and get figured out how you can get a hold of that product, because you don't want to go without the things that you need or the things that maybe you've read about or seen on videos that really would be a benefit to your tackle box.
Yeah, and the online aspect of it, you know, it definitely has more of our shooting sports tied to it. You're not going to find a lot of our, really probably any of our fishing tackle on there. But the store specifically is where you're going to, you know, want to get the what I need where I need it.
Well, make sure you check that out and get by here and see us at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, CY Avenue in Casper, or one of the other locations all over the state.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
And we are back. It's Drew along with Brian Woodward from Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. Brian, also a big member and what are you, coordinator maybe, of the director of the Wyoming Walleye Stampede. And we just finished up round number three at Boisen State Park at Boisen Reservoir over near Shoshone. And 96 boats, really good turnout for a reservoir that is a long way from everywhere, really. You know, got a lot of the guys come from Colorado or Nebraska, but they still made the journey.
Yeah, we it's a great reservoir, and it fishes good, and it fished really good this year. And so I think it's one of those lakes we kind of bounce around every other year or so. So a lot of guys were just excited to kind of get there and spend some time there. And like we've talked in the past, you know, it's close enough to Thermopolis. So you take the family, you spend a couple of days at the Star Plunge, and you may go see some dinosaurs. And
right.
You know, you could make a trip to Cody or, you know, to Yellowstone for a day if you needed to. But there's a lot to do in that area, and it's beautiful country. And so, yeah, we had a great turnout, and you know, had a winner, had a loser, and everything in between.
Yeah, Rick and Bruce were the winners, and we'll talk to them in just a few minutes. They were kind enough to do an interview with us, and Rick Walter been around since the beginning, and Bruce as well. They were team members for a long time, but we'll get their views on the win. And overall, when we were at Glendale, we had some big weights, some big bags, and here they were in, you know, 36.62 is about our highest, I believe.
36.62 was the winning weight for 2 days, and Rick and Bruce on day one had almost 25 pounds, but that included a 30-inch walleye, which, you know, gave them a good 10-pound bump right off the bat.
Which is wild, because you think about it, one fish can make or break you in this tournament.
I mean, there's a lot of good anglers, and there's a lot of good quality fish, right? And sometimes we take it for granted that, you know, we catch some of these fish that are over 22, 23 inches, and, you know, fishing all over the country myself, I mean, there's a lot of reservoirs that, you know, you might catch one fish an hour, and you might have a limited in a day, but, you know, really, Wyoming's got some of the best catch rates, you know, per hour, per person. So, you know, you put that together with, you know, a lot of good quality 18 to 20-inch fish, and then you just, you know, you're hoping for one good kicker fish, you know, something 25-plus, and it's hard to put a basket of 23s, you know, or 22-inch fish, you know, to each day especially.
Yeah, and to advance, and that's kind of the tough part. We had some guys that were in the top 15 on day one and were really feeling good. Well, the fish just weren't hitting where they were on day two, and it knocked them right out and almost out of the top 30 almost at some of those.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I was just looking at the results here, you know, and Rick and Bruce on day two, you know, they had 11.64, almost half the weight, less than half of the weight they had the first day. And then you look down at our third place team, well, they had 11.45 on day one. So it came down to who caught the best fish, you know, the best kicker really out of all of that. And third place team had 2 27-inch fish on day two. Fortunately, Rick and Bruce with that 30-incher, you know, that gave them enough of a lead that first day to, you know, they really only won by, you know, less than a half a pound.
Yeah, and I think team three had a birthday luck in there. They got a birthday wish on those 27-inchers.
Yeah, old Brooks Tizer's birthday, you know, and they grinded it out. They're the type of guys that really like to pitch swim baits and crank baits. And fortunately for them, in that afternoon, that sun came out and warmed things up. that shallow bite turned on for them. And, you know, I'm not so certain if they didn't have another hour to fish that they wouldn't have, you know, caught another couple big fish and walked away with the win.
There were a lot of different methods, a lot of theories, a lot of setups on this tournament. I mean, because we saw it all when we were driving around and weighing fish. And you know, the team that won just kind of grinded it out. They said they had to change things up on day two, and that's kind of how you have to go with fishing, like we talked a little earlier.
Yeah, and the conditions just change. I mean, from day to day, from hour to hour, you know, whether it's – I talked to some guys that said that the troll bite for them turned off when the wind picked up. And that's a lot of times when guys go to trolling because they just don't get the boat control for pitching and casting and running jigs or live bait, that kind of stuff. So it was interesting to see, you know, how the certain, you know, teams kind of stuck it out and what presentations they were using and then maybe what they switched to, whether, you know, midday or, you know, just didn't feel it right off the bat in the morning and then said, well, not feeling it, fish aren't here, let's either move location or let's change our presentation.
Well, and that's exactly, you know, we've talked about that. You can't stick with something that's not working if you're especially in a time crunch and right. And trying to get that kicker.
You know, everybody likes to fish like how they like to fish, right? And when you start fishing tournaments, it kind of forces you to be more diversified. Like, you know, you know how many rods I have on my boat, you know? Yeah. I mean, we can throw jigs and bait. We can throw jigs and twister tails or paddle tails or split tails, or we can go to pulling cranks, you know?
And we did all of that within a matter of an hour, I think, one point. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, that's been kind of fun having you on the boat is that you've been brought up fishing for bass and a lot of species that were not walleye.
Yeah, right.
And so... You know, we wanted to try to just, you know, show you a different presentation. Now, we've ran some planer boards in the past, you know, pulling cranks, but we've never ran snap weights. And right. So while we were weighing those fish this tournament, we wanted to stay on the outside of everybody, let them wave us in when they were ready to measure a fish, but just kind of stay out of their way. And, you know, we dropped a crankbait down with a 2-ounce snap weight so we could be pretty much vertical right below the boat or pretty close to it. And, you know, we ended up, well, Noah caught a 26.5-inch walleye.
I think, and this is a sidebar, but I think we determined that this is the first fish that he has caught by himself that was that big, right?
Well, first it was a tree.
Yeah, right.
I think I'm snagged on a tree. Yeah. And he goes, oh, never mind, it's coming up. Oh yeah, that's a walleye, Noah. Let me get the net.
Yeah, and then it's funny. I emailed his mom and I said, I wish you could have heard the shriek that he made when he caught that, because that's exciting. You catch a fish that big.
Yeah, and it's like I said, it's kind of neat to just from my side of things is to give different people the opportunities and the exposure on how we do things, you know. And
but it is always a good time. Now we're to the championship round, which is the final round of the series, and there will be 60 boats in this round, the top 60 that have made it, and there's really a system of who makes the championship.
Yeah, we have a point system for how teams finish. So this week with Rick and Bruce winning, they start off with 200 points, and then it progresses down. Second place gets 195, then 192, then 190, and then once we get down into fifth place, it just goes down one point at a time. So the guy that finishes down in, you know, 60th place gets 130 points, let's say. But then we take all those points for each event, and the top 60 teams based on point standings that also fished all three events, those top 60 teams are invited to our championship, which, again, is going to be held at Pathfinder Reservoir August 10th and 11th.
So there is definitely a science that goes into this, and if you've never really seen any of this stuff, I encourage you, go check out the Wyoming Walleye Stampede's Facebook page. You can see pictures of a lot of these fish. You can go to the radio station's app. We have the article up that, you know, shows lots of those fish, including the 30-inch fish that ended up winning it for Rick and Bruce.
Yeah, it was, again, there's some great photos out there, some great anglers, and it's nice just talking to people that you know, have fished one or two or 3 years, and they said, you know, every tournament I just learned something new. You know, I didn't realize that the winners were doing this or doing that, or, you know, I mean, I didn't really think I could catch big fish pulling worm harnesses, but, you know, hey, look at these guys are doing it.
And one thing that, I've learned from you is, you know, you see all of this different bait, you walk down the aisles and there's lures and there's colors and there's plastic worms, but, you know, you always go back to a jig and a worm, fish easy, and it'll work for you every time.
Just regular fishing.
You got to love it. if the Wyoming Walleye Stampede for 2025 sounds interesting to you, after the first of the year, make sure you're checking to see when they release the dates. And you can always come and talk to Brian here at the store if he hasn't be here, and he can give you some information, or you can hit him up in their the Facebook page and get a message. And, you know, we did talk about the championship coming up in August, but also during that time is the Team of the Year, which that's a whole nother process that is not just making it to the championship.
Yeah, the Team of the Year basically follows the same point system. However, we don't allow substitutions. Like we feel that to make it through a full season with one partner is pretty big deal.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a good marriage, right? And so if for a team that made that commitment that could fish together and do well, then they actually will qualify for that Team of the Year. Our Team of the Year, the final points will come out of the championship. So right now we've got a team out of Nebraska, Chuck and Hunter Craig, that are leading the Team of the Year standings. But nothing says that they're going to end up pulling away from it. They got a couple teams within reach. One of the advantages of the Team of the Year is they get free entries into next year's Stampede. They get jackets that say, you know, that they're cool and they have champions. And they get a really, really nice trophy that shows that they're Team of the Year as well. And that Team of the Year is sponsored by Skeeter Boats and ITC Electric right here out of Casper.
So make sure if you're interested in this to check out all the details. And we're going to talk to the winners from this week in Boyson, Rick and Bruce, coming up in just minutes. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Welcome back. It's Drew Kirby, the host of Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. Brian Woodward is here from Lucky Mountain Discount Sports still. But we have the winners from last weekend's Wyoming Walleye Stampede, the circuit that roams over lots of great reservoirs here in Wyoming. And the first two in Glendoe, this one at Boyson, and Rick Walter and Bruce Brueger are two guys that have been around for quite a while. You guys aren't strangers to the Stampede. And Rick, how long have you been fishing here?
Yeah, this is probably my fourth win on the Stampede, dating back to 2009 was the first year Brian started. And I think me and my wife won the first two.
Oh, what?
Of the Wyoming Stampede, from Keyhole to Glendoe. But then it's been a dry spell. It's tough to win.
It is tough, but you guys made it look pretty easy on day one. And then day two, you slowed down a little bit. Did you change up your game plan?
Not really. Just put five in the box and then go from there. It's fishing. It's not catching. So
right.
It's tough to put 2 days together on Boyson, and it has been for 30 years.
Which, you know, that was the first time that I'd ever been on the water there. I'd been out there many, many times, but I didn't realize how awkward it could be fishing there, because on one end of the lake, you're fishing one way, and then the other end, you have to fish totally different. And did you go in with a game plan when you started the day that, okay, we're going to start, and this is exactly what we're doing both days?
No, you know, basically when we went out Saturday, we didn't get much pre-fishing in Friday because the wind blew so bad. But so we kind of just, I relied on past experience on that lake, going where I have confidence in just the way I'm fishing. And just going by past experience.
So you guys have been fishing these obviously either together or apart for quite a while. And do you guys normally fish it together, or have you?
Actually, this year I'm just filling in for his regular partner. He got injured, and so we fished a lot in the past, mm-hmm. but probably not for the last 10 years
anyway. Yeah, it's been 10 years. It's kind of a strange, yeah, Bruce goes way back. When I was fishing professionally, he was my traveling co-angler. But yeah, we hadn't fished together in, like I said, 10 years. This is the first year we've fished together, and it's kind of a cool comeback story, because we have had a lot of success in the Lowrance Pro-Am, you know, tournament way back when, and no, we've had a lot of success together, so it's been fun to fish with him again.
Do you find it difficult after 10 years of kind of figuring each other out again? I mean, because, you know, you kind of get into a groove with your partner.
Nope, it wasn't difficult at all. I got a job, he's got a job, we know what it is, nothing really needs to be said. It's
catch fish.
That's it.
Really? Yeah. Catch fish. Yeah. And if you're just out there to catch fish, then yeah, you're out there having a good day.
No, yeah, it does go a long ways, though, to have somebody that you fish with forever. And yeah, you're just going out and having fun is the main thing. You can't control what the fish are doing. You know, it's us against the fish, not us against the other competitors. Just go out there and try to catch fish. But catching a 30-incher, my first fish for Saturday, was quite the surprise. And it set the tone for the day. And we really try to, you know, get as much as you can when you got a fish like that. And it was a great day. I mean, Bruce ended up catching a 23.5, a couple 22s, and our smallest fish was 20 inches. So it was a good first day. But went back there the second day, didn't catch one.
Nothing.
Nothing. We had to change tactics, so that's the way it goes.
When you go into day two, which I've learned a lot over the last couple of years, how day two is never the easiest day. It's always so hard to fish on that second day. And then you have to do that. You have to change up on the fly like that. And did it get frustrating for you at all when, you know, you're like, we did it yesterday right here, why can't we do it again? Come on, fish, play the game.
No, it's really not frustrating. That lake's got a history of 2 days in a row. It's really tough to do. So, you know, you hope for the best, but it generally never happens.
You just go try to catch five keepers in. And every one of those fish count, too, because, yeah, they all add up.
So we have gone through the first three rounds, and we've had three winners from each round. So really, the playing field is set, and we're ready to go to Pathfinder in a few weeks. And how are you guys going to go with that? What are you going to go in plan-wise to fish up there at Pathfinder?
You know, that's our local water. We consider that our local water. So really, we go fish it the same as basically, you know, where we've been fishing Boyson and Glendale. I mean, definitely always look shallow, but it's when you're dealing with late summer, the fish transition. So I mean, the fish are shallow now as that water warms up, and you know, they head deeper, so it'll be a deeper bite. But you always got to take advantage of your early mornings, just kind of like Boyson. You know, we always try to go shallow in the morning as the sun rises, then we'll move out deeper, and unless you get wind too, and then, you know, that can play up keeping it shallow. But no, you just, what I call it, is fish the moment.
So one thing that we talk about a lot before these tournaments is pre-fishing, and there's 6 weeks from now until the next tournament. How many times will you go out per week just to kind of keep a running total of maybe where the fish are going to be?
I'll be lucky if I get out one time before then, really, because if I ain't pouring concrete, I'm fitting. But concrete business is pretty good right now, too, so hopefully we get a couple days in. But you know, Pathfinder's close, so some days we get an afternoon trip in, which makes it nice. So to come to tournament day, we can't predict a month out, 6 weeks out. We just go say, well, where you catch them yesterday don't mean where you're going to catch them today. It's just show up and go fishing, dissect it down in the moment.
Bruce, how long have you been doing the fishing? You guys fished together for a long time together, then you took 10 years off together, and then what about you fishing the last 10 years? You've been doing any tournaments?
I did it for a few years with another friend of mine for 3 or 4 years, and he got injured and just different work situations, and I ended up selling my boat to start a business, and the business failed, and I actually got my boat back 5 years later. And you got to have someone that you can fish with as well.
Right.
So that's, you got to be able to get along in the boat. Yeah, it makes a huge difference.
That's a small space to not like somebody and be trapped together, right?
Yeah, most definitely.
Well, guys, congratulations. I know you got to cash some checks. You got the big fish. You got the overall winner. How many other things did you get? Did you get the Old Timers League?
The dinosaur.
So yeah, we are getting older. You know, as you see, we are turning grayer. But I've fished a lot of pro tournaments over the years, you know, back PWT days in the early 2000s. And the Stampede is a stand-up circuit. It's ran very professional. It's a lot of great competition, camaraderie. It's just a good time. And really, for people to learn, you know, they think they can't catch walleye. Well, that's the best way to learn. It's a very small investment to go out there, you know, $400, $200 a person, you can spend that on a few baits now, you know. So it's a good way to learn, to get involved in the tournament if you're to learn to catch walleye.
There's a lot of skill involved in fishing, but there's a lot of luck involved in fishing too. So a $400 entry fee could score you a $10,000 check. I mean, that's a pretty good investment.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And also they offer the Poor Boys Award now too, so you don't have to have a $50,000 Ranger or whatever.
It pays down quite a ways, you know. It's not just the top five guys or whatever.
Yeah, the payout's great.
There's a lot of opportunity to cash a little check there, you know, no matter what.
And I think the numbers speak for themselves, you know. As you know, you look around, the numbers that the Wyoming Walleye Stampede's getting is, it's up there with the pros. You know what I mean? It's a very well-run circuit organization, great people, great camaraderie.
Proof is in numbers, and every week this time, what, we have 96 boats, so near 100 every week this year that we did the tournament. So that's awesome.
If you average it out,
to show,
probably a little better, yeah. Definitely.
You know, you got guys from South Dakota, from Colorado, from Nebraska. We had guys from Minnesota that were here this year, and you know, the Midwest guys, that's where all the cheaters are. And we don't cheat out here in Wyoming, do we?
Nope.
No. They put weights in there.
And you better get a magnet up there.
Well, and that's different when your weight, you know, you're doing a length to weight conversion. You know,
you ain't gaining
off of an actual weighed fish, and they're getting released right back, right where you catch them, really. They'll come and check your fish right there and release them right there, back to where you caught them. I mean, so it's great for the fisheries, and yeah, it's a good time.
So you guys heading out in just a few weeks, and we can't wait to see you guys out there. And Bruce, are you fishing together in the championship?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to see you guys out there. Maybe you'll hoist that trophy over your head this year.
Sounds good.
That would be great.
Rick, Bruce, thank you guys so much, and congratulations.
Thank you.
You got it. Another great show. Man, we covered a lot of ground this week, and we appreciate you hanging out with us on Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.